Amen. Hallelujah. Glory be to God. It is only in Him and in His presence that we are changed and that we become new people. The Bible says, rejoice not that the demons tremble at you and respond to you, but rather that your names are written in the Lamb's Book of Life. Hallelujah. Amen. Rather that our names are written in the Lamb's Book of Life, that we have access to the throne of thrones, the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, and we have the privilege of being able to be called His children. That is a beautiful thing. I'm going to be sharing from James this morning, James chapter 3, verses 13 through 18. Heavenly versus earthly wisdom. Heavenly versus earthly wisdom. My pickup truck gave out. Transmission went out. It had considerable wear. It was getting older and a lot of miles on it. And so I began to look for another pickup. And I looked at Toyota. And I looked at Ford. Didn't look there long. But I looked at Chevy. And I looked at all these pickup trucks that are available and all the things that people were saying are good about this one or good about that one or good about the Chevy, the Ford, the Toyota, the you name it. And I started to gather all this here knowledge of pickup trucks and what would be good and what everybody thought was good and all that stuff. So here I am with all this here knowledge. And now what do I do with it? See, I'm now left at the point where I need to make a decision. And I'm left with deciding between all these here pickup trucks. And it takes wisdom. You know, we gain knowledge, we learn, and which is good, and we should. But there comes a point that if we don't have wisdom to apply what we know, it's worthless. It's worthless to know if we don't have wisdom to know how to apply it. And the wisdom that is talked about here in James is, you'll see the contrast between the two wisdoms that James talks about here. First of all, we have more knowledge at our fingertips today than ever before. A couple of years ago, Google CEO Eric Schmidt made this statement. Every 2 days, we now create as much information as we did from the dawn of civilization up until 2003. Up until 2003, today we are, every 2 days, we now create as much information as we did in that time. We're literally living in a time when information is exploding and immediately accessible on our phones, tablets, or computers, and the question that comes to mind or that comes to the forefront is, are we wiser? You know, I don't have to be a smart person anymore. I get out my phone, I want to know how to spell a word. I don't really have to learn it anymore. I just get out my phone and how do you spell so-and-so? The phone tells me how to spell it. You see, we have knowledge. We have access to so much stuff. But I'm here to tell you, friends, this morning, the wisdom of God is a whole lot more than knowledge. And the wisdom of God only comes through the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. And let's take a look at James. James chapter 3, verses 13 through 18. Who is wise and understanding among you? Let him show by good conduct that his works are done in the meekness of wisdom. But if you have bitter envy and self-seeking in your hearts, do not boast and lie against the truth. This wisdom does not descend from above, but is earthly, sensual, and demonic. For where envy and self-seeking exist, confusion and every evil thing are there. But the wisdom that is from above is what? First pure, then peaceable, gentle, willing to yield, full of mercy and good fruits and without partiality and without hypocrisy. Now the fruit of righteousness is sown in peace by those who make peace. Let me read that verse again. Now the fruit of righteousness is sown in peace. The fruit of righteousness is sown in peace by those who make peace. And you look at this scripture and you look at the contrast between the two wisdoms that James has laid out here, and it's very clear. It's very clear. And the very thing that we look at people and we look for wisdom in people, and many times it is the earthly wisdom that we're looking for. Because look what James says in verse 17. But the wisdom that is from above is first pure. It is peaceable. It is gentle. It is willing to yield. It brings forth good fruits. That is wisdom from God. And trust me this morning, all of us have been at a place at one time or another where we have prayed and we have begged for wisdom. We have begged for wisdom that is beyond ourselves, beyond our knowledge, and beyond what we know. And when I look at wisdom and I look at how that, but the wisdom is that is from above is first pure and then peaceable. And to go back to verse 13, it says, how does it tell us to show our wisdom? Let him show by good conduct that his works are done in the meekness of wisdom. The wisdom that God gives, there is no pride. It isn't a proud attitude or a proud spirit with which we present ourselves to other people. And I think this is so important, because realize that today, in every arena of life, there is someone watching you. There is someone who is learning from you. There is someone who is gathering wisdom from you. And I don't care what the sphere is or what the realm is, whether you're a father, a mother, a teacher, a brother, a sister, you are teaching someone, and someone is watching you. And therefore, I believe it is so important that we operate with wisdom. Karen had the little boys that are on the picture over one day, and she was getting washed out of the dryer, and she had a little spray bottle that she was spraying something on the wash that came out of the dryer, and the spray bottle quit working. And she said, oh, this isn't working. And Jude says, here, give it to me, Nana, I'll fix it. And so Jude took the little spray bottle, and he got down on the floor, and he whacked it a couple times on the floor. Daddy, your son is watching. Anyway, the spray bottle still didn't work. He gave it back to Nana, and here, give it to me again. And he took it down on the floor, and he whacked it a couple more times and gave it to Nana, and the spray bottle worked. You see, there is always someone who is watching you. And it is so important that we operate in wisdom. It is so important. It is so important. There is always someone who is watching you. Granted, you're not going to be perfect. You're not going to be perfect. And neither am I. There are times, there are days, there are many days that I pray for wisdom for this congregation. I pray that God will direct my thoughts, direct our board of ministry, our board of elders, that we will have wisdom. But you know what? If you watch me for 6 months, probably if you watch me for a day or a week, you will be able to find something that I will fail at. And so I beg of you to pray with me that God will give me wisdom to lead in a way that is wise. If you want to sit back and fold your arms and watch, you will find something wrong with me. And that goes for every one of us. That goes for all of us. There is someone who is watching you. You're not perfect. And I think the more we understand that we need the wisdom of God, the more we will function in humility. That we don't have it all together. You see, it says in verse 13 that his works are done in the meekness of wisdom. That his works, his conduct, is done in the meekness of wisdom. So he identifies wisdom and meekness. I received this in an email at Byler's this week. Be the smartest person in the room. And then to visit those links, my knowledge links. Be the smartest person in the room. The smartest person is not always the wisest person. The smartest person is not always the wisest person. Einstein helped to be able to create the bomb. He was smart. Was that wise? I'm not here to judge that. I'm just using that as an illustration that the smartest person is not always the wisest person. Because we evaluate wisdom by our own human understanding. Psalms 107:43 says, "Whoever is wise will observe these things, and they will understand the loving kindness of the Lord." Jeremiah 9:23 says, "Thus says the Lord, let not the wise man glory in his wisdom, let not the mighty man glory in his might, nor let the rich man glory in his riches. Let not the wise man glory in his wisdom." There is a humility that follows the wisdom of God. And every one of us in this room this morning need the wisdom of God to be able to stand against the attacks of the enemy. The story is told by a mother who found her young son sitting inside the open door of a garage near the cat dish with his bow and arrow, saying, "Here, kitty, kitty, kitty." You see, we all need the wisdom of God to stand against the tactics of the enemy who is attempting to put an arrow through your heart and to put you out of commission. We all need the wisdom of God to know how to do that. And here in James, as it says here in verse 13, is anyone among you, got off the wrong track. Sorry, wrong 13. Who is wise and understanding among you? Let him show by good conduct. So, who is wise and understanding among you? And it is shown by, it is pure and peaceable, gentle, willing to yield, and full of mercy. Another thing that stood out to me in this here scripture is in verse 15. This wisdom does not descend from above, but is earthly, sensual, and actually 14. But if you have bitter envy and self-seeking in your hearts, do not boast and lie against the truth. If you have bitter envy in your heart. And I'd like us to stop and think about that bitter envy a little bit and how that it is not wise to carry this bitter envy and self-seeking in your heart. That is not wisdom from above. It is wisdom from below. It is wisdom from beneath when we carry this here bitter envy. Let me read to you a story that is all too true and all too real. This was published on June the 15th, 2012 in the Associated Press, Fox News, Madison, South Dakota. A jockstrap pulled over a student sports manager's head in a high school locker room more than 50 years ago provoked a 73-year-old South Dakota man to fatally shoot his long-ago classmate, a prosecutor said on Friday. Carl Erickson of Watertown, who last month pleaded guilty but mentally ill to second-degree murder, was sentenced to life in prison Friday. Erickson was charged in the January 31st killing of the retired Madison High School teacher and track coach Norman Johnson, who was shot twice in the face as he answered the door. Kenneth Meyer, the Lake County state attorney, said that Erickson has indicated that the decades-old locker room incident led to the shooting. Johnson was a high school sports star, and Erickson was a student manager. Beth Ribsenton, Johnson's daughter, said her dad hadn't spoken to Erickson for years, and it was puzzling that he had held on to the grudge for so long. "It was just goofing off in the locker room," Ribsen, 50, said Friday after the sentencing. "Erickson hasn't been right for many years," Ribsen said, adding that he was envious of her father's success and standing in the community. "He was just jealous of Dad his whole life," she said. Erickson, the man that was sentenced, in brief comments made after Johnson's daughters spoke, said he would like to tell Johnson's widow, Barb, that he was very sorry for what he had done. "I just wish I could turn back the calendar of time," he said. Bitter envy has harsh consequences. It is not wise. It is not wise. It has harsh consequences. In the Old Testament book of Proverbs, we are encouraged to seek after wisdom. Proverbs 3:13-18 says, "Happy is the man who finds wisdom, and a man who gains understanding, for her proceeds are better than the profits of silver, and her gain than fine gold. She is more precious than rubies, and all the things you may desire cannot compare with her. Length of days is in her right hand, and in her left riches and honor. Her ways are ways of pleasantness, and all her paths are peace. She is a tree of life to those who take hold of her, and happy are all who retain her." Proverbs 4, verses 7 through 9 says this, "Wisdom is the principal thing. Therefore, get wisdom, and in all your getting, get understanding. Exalt her, and she will promote you. She will bring you honor when you embrace her. She will place on your head an ornament of grace, a crown of glory she will deliver to you." Guys, he's not talking about your wife, but this would be some good application to apply to your wife. If you were to do these things, she will bring you honor. If you will embrace her, if you will be good to her. And he's talking about wisdom. If you will embrace wisdom, it will bring honor to you. It will place on your head an ornament of grace, a crown of glory she will deliver to you. Likewise, in the New Testament, we are exhorted to walk with wisdom. In Ephesians 5:15-17, it says this, "See then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time, because the days are evil, and therefore do not be unwise, but understand what the will of the Lord is." But in James 13:18, we'll see here, as we take a look at this scripture a little more, is that there is two wisdoms. Now we understand that the wisdom of this world and the wisdom of God, and look at some of the contrasts that James pulls out here. And one of them is that we want to look at the contrast of the origin of these wisdoms. Where do they come from? Where do they come from? Earthly wisdom is not from above, verse 15. It is earthly. In First Corinthians 1:20, it says, "Where is the wise? Where is the scribe? Where is the disputer of this age? Has not God made foolish the wisdom of this world?" Has not God made foolish the wisdom of this world? The wisdom of this world is earthly. In other words, it is worldly. It comes from, it's according to this world's standards. It's not based on Scripture. It's not based on the Word of God. It's not based on following the Holy Spirit. It is earthly. The wisdom of this world is earthly. But the wisdom of this world is foolishness to God. You know, we strive for, we go after, we look for, we long for wisdom of this world. Do we go after Do we seek after? Do we want wisdom, the wisdom of God, the same way that we want the wisdom of this world? Do we really? It is sensual, appealing to the senses, the emotions. The wisdom of this world is sensual. It appeals to emotions. It appeals to what feels good. It appeals to the flesh. It is sensual. It makes us feel proud. And going back to verse 13, where it says that this wisdom is practiced in meekness. And if there's one thing I want to drive home this morning, is that with the wisdom of God, the wisdom of God is encompassed in humility. The wisdom of this world is encompassed in pride. And we need to separate the two. It is demonic. This kind of wisdom is possessed by devils. This kind of wisdom often finds its origins in the influences of Satan. It is demonic. It's influenced by Satan. It is driven by Satan because it brings pride. What was the one thing that God hates more than anything else is pride. What was it that Satan, that Lucifer fell from? It was pride. And so the wisdom of this world, the wisdom, the fleshly wisdom that James is talking about is generated from a demonic standpoint. But heavenly wisdom is from above. It comes from God. James 17, every good gift and every perfect gift is from above and comes down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variance or shadow of turning. It comes via prayer. James 1, 5 through 8, if any of you lacks wisdom, let him buy books. Go on Google. No. If any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask God, who gives to all liberally and without reproach, and it will be given to him. But let him ask in faith with no doubting. For he who doubts is like a wave of the sea driven and tossed by the wind. For let not that man suppose that he will receive anything from the Lord. He is a double-minded man, unstable in all his ways. So here we see that if we lack wisdom, how are we to get it? We are to ask God. It comes through prayer. The other one that's, and let me just say here, if you have not accepted Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, if you have not answered the call of God on your life to repent of your sins and to accept Jesus Christ as your Savior, that is not wise, to say the least. Sounds pretty elementary, doesn't it? That the eternal end of those who do not receive Jesus Christ as their personal Savior is an eternal hell. It is an eternal damnation. It is not wise. Pure wisdom is only experienced by the influence of the Holy Spirit. Let's look at a contrast in their nature. Earthly wisdom is full of bitter envy. That's what he says here. But if you have bitter envy, it is full of bitter envy. The other thing is, it possesses a self-seeking heart. And this wisdom, it comes with the earthly qualities such as power, prestige, position. This earthly wisdom that rises up within us at once, that drives us to do things, that drives us to learn things, that drives us to know things, is motivated many times by the thirst for power, the thirst for position, the thirst for prestige. And you're saying, I can see it in your face. You're saying, Luke, well, is it wrong then to get knowledge? No, it's not. But what you do with knowledge is so incredibly important. It's so incredibly important. Because with knowledge, there is a temptation to fall into a spirit of pride that will take us to a place we don't want to go. So a person with knowledge should be a person who knows that they know that they don't know everything. You with me? This was a kind of wisdom that prompted Satan to fall. It was proudful. It prompted the disciples to argue over who was going to be the greatest in the kingdom of God. It was that kind of wisdom that did that. They argued about who was going to be the greatest in the kingdom of God. But heavenly wisdom, on the other hand, it is first pure. And I want us to take some time just to think about these, each of these a little bit this morning. What is pure wisdom? What is pure wisdom? Pure wisdom is that it's from above. It is God's will. That's pure wisdom. Not one to compromise the truth. That's pure wisdom. Pure wisdom is something that reflects God. It honors God. It glorifies God. That is pure wisdom. Then it is peaceable. It makes every effort under the sun to make peace. This here wisdom that comes from God is a peaceable wisdom. And we have all run into people that we know who are peaceable people. They try to make peace. They're not looking to stir something up. They're not looking to make someone angry. They're not looking to get in an argument. They are peaceable people. Could they? Could they get into an argument? Could they hold their own on an argument? Yes, they probably could. They are probably knowledgeable people. But a true picture of peace is that person that with knowledge is able to say, I don't know everything. Are you with me? I don't know everything. And so I'll be peaceable. I don't know everything about your situation. I will be peaceable. It is gentle. When you look at this here, heavenly wisdom versus earthly wisdom. Heavenly wisdom is gentle. And who of us here this morning doesn't like a person that's gentle? Who of us here this morning isn't attracted to a gentle person? See, wisdom from God, wisdom from above will cause a person to be gentle. And I ask you this morning, are you walking in gentleness to your fellow man? It's not harsh when dealing with other people, different ideas. It is willing to yield. But wisdom that is from above is willing to yield. And how many of us here this morning can say that I am willing to yield? In our relationships with, whether it's a boss, with a spouse, with children, are we willing to yield as long as it's not compromising truth? As long as it's not compromising God's word, am I a person who is willing to yield? And say, yeah, it doesn't have to be my way as long as it's not compromising God's word. Am I willing to yield? Because this is a characteristic of the wisdom of God, willing to yield. And these people are getting harder to find, I believe, as time goes on. You drive on the road. Wow, not willing to yield. Not in matters of truth, but in matters of opinion, in matters of liberty. Are you willing to yield? Paul said, even though it's okay for me to eat meat, I won't eat meat. You know why? Because it offends my brother. Am I willing to yield? It is full of mercy. This here wisdom from God is full of mercy. And who, again, isn't attracted to a person who's full of mercy? You know, we want everybody to be full of mercy towards us. I want you all to be very merciful towards me. But you know what I can find myself? If we're not careful, we can find ourselves being very critical of each other. We can find ourselves not extending the same mercy to someone else that we are asking that they extend to us. The wisdom of God says that you are merciful. That is a sign of wisdom, if you are merciful. Because you know, you understand, I realize that I mess up. I realize that I don't have it all together. Those days are few, but I do. Once in a while, I recognize that I don't have it all together. I mean, that I recognize it. I know I don't have it all together. The days that I recognize it are a few. Ask my wife. Quick to forgive the offenses of others. Wisely understanding my own need for mercy. Producing good fruits. It produces good fruits. What does the Bible say the good fruit? What does Paul say in Galatians? The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, goodness, gentleness, meekness, faith. This wisdom produces good fruits. And if you look around and you look at your own life, I stop looking around. Look at your own life and you say, is my life producing good fruits? Is my life producing joy? Is my life producing happiness? Is my life producing purity? Is my life producing peaceable spirit? Is my life producing a gentle spirit? Is my life willing to yield? What are the fruits that are coming out of my life? Because if I'm a fruit-bearing person, it needs to be fruit that is fit to eat, that is not rotten. And I'm afraid that many times in our workplaces and on the road and places like that, we are demonstrating some rotten fruit. And I challenge you this morning to take a look at the fruit. How is it? How is that fruit doing? Is it bringing forth some good peaches, some good apples that are good to eat, good to taste? You know why? Because someone is watching you. Someone is observing you. It is without partiality. It shows no respect of persons, rather treating all fairly on the same basis. It is without partiality, whether you're Joe Anger, Black Bumper, Methodist, Catholic, or if you're nothing, do you treat all people the same? Do you treat all people with the respect that God expects you to? Because every person is created in the image of God. And everyone, I don't care what their denominational affiliation is worthy of being shown respect. There is no one, no matter what they have done, that should not be shown respect. But we have this, we put people in a category and we treat them accordingly. We put people in categories and that's how we treat them. Do you have to agree with them? No. Do you have to agree with them to respect them? No. But everyone as a human being without partiality, wisdom is without partiality, without hypocrisy. This here wisdom has the idea that what I see here on a Sunday morning is real. What I see here on a Sunday morning is what I will find in your workplace. What I see here on a Sunday morning is what I will see on the road. The way you step back and hold the door open for somebody else, that's the way I'll see you on the road. That's the way I'll see you in the workplace. That's the way I'll see you when your boss treats you less than a human being. You'll step back and hold the door. Hypocrisy is living something different than what you really are. Portraying something different than what you really are. Ray talked about integrity this week, and there's just something that sticks in my mind is that integrity and the lack of hypocrisy go way beyond the boundaries of law. Here's the boundary of law. Integrity goes way beyond it. You can put all the laws in place that you want to, but until a person recognizes that the wisdom from above doesn't practice hypocrisy, it does nothing. The laws do nothing. Are you with me? This is wisdom from above versus earthly wisdom, versus wisdom that comes from self-seeking and an envious heart. Let's take a look at the contrast of the fruits of these here wisdoms. Earthly wisdom causes confusion and every evil thing. Heavenly wisdom produces peace instead of confusion, bears the fruit of righteousness instead of every evil thing. And this morning, I think, again, as we look at the contrast of the fruits, the fruit of the wisdom of this world will cause us many times, will cause us to be proud in heart. He says, this wisdom does not descend from above, but it is earthly, sensual, and demonic. For where envy and self-seeking exist, confusion and every evil thing are there. Let me read that again. For where envy and self-seeking exist, confusion and every evil thing are there. Do you envy this morning? Do you see someone else, your neighbor or your family member or a friend or someone who has something so much better than you have and you're envious of it? It brings confusion. If all you're seeking is for yourself, if everything that you're looking for, working for, reaching out for, grasping after is for yourself, guess what? It brings confusion. It is self-seeking. It brings confusion. And every evil thing are there. In conclusion, what kind of wisdom do we have? What kind of wisdom do we have? Those who have earthly wisdom boast of theirs. Those who have heavenly wisdom show theirs by their good conduct, done in meekness. See the difference? See the contrast? Those that have earthly wisdom, they boast of it. Those who have heavenly wisdom, they show it by how? Not by this. They show it by their good conduct. They show it in verse 13, who is wise and understanding among you, let him show by good conduct that his works are done in the meekness of wisdom. That his works are done in the meekness of wisdom. What kind of wisdom do you want? What kind of wisdom is it that you want? What is it that you're going after? What is it that you're seeking for? What kind of wisdom do you want? Do you want earthly wisdom or do you want heavenly wisdom? Heavenly wisdom is only found through the leading of the Holy Spirit. And if you're here this morning and you realize in your life that you don't have the leading of the Holy Spirit in your life, that can be corrected this morning. That can be corrected. Because there's no time like now when we recognize that we're not showing wisdom. If it is earthly wisdom that you want, then just do what the world tells you. Just do what the world tells you. Just do what feels right. If it's earthly wisdom that you're looking for, just do what the world tells you to do. And do what feels right because it's sensual. It is sensual. Do what feels right if it's earthly wisdom that you're looking for. But if it's heavenly wisdom, then we must be diligent to seek such wisdom from God. We need to be diligent to seek that kind of wisdom from God, to demonstrate such wisdom by our conduct, that we will demonstrate it by our conduct. What kind of wisdom do you want? What kind of wisdom do you have in regards to the gospel of Christ? Earthly wisdom makes no response to the gospel, or if any, only that which is convenient. Earthly wisdom doesn't respond to the gospel. If it does, only to that which is convenient. If it doesn't cost me anything. Heavenly wisdom receives the commands of the gospel joyfully and obediently. Now, a couple of scriptures, Mark 16, 15 through 16 says, "And he said to them, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He who believes and is baptized will be saved. But he who does not believe will be condemned." Heavenly wisdom receives the commands of the gospel joyfully and obediently. Acts 2:38, "Then Peter said to them, repent and let every one of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit." Hallelujah. Do you have the gift of the Holy Spirit this morning? Say amen. Amen. If you have the gift of the Holy Spirit and you are able to function in the wisdom that is from above, there's no question. You are able to and should be. You are able to and should be functioning in the wisdom that is from above. Have you demonstrated heavenly wisdom? Is the question that we close with. Have you demonstrated heavenly wisdom to those around you, to those that are watching you? Those little eyes, those little ears. And whether they be in the form of a big person or a little person, as we saw with Jude and Hudson. The little eyes, the little ears, they're watching you and they're learning from you. Are you showing wisdom to those around you? Father, we thank you this morning for the opportunity we have to call you Father. Thank you, Lord, for the opportunity we have to come to you and know that your scripture is true, that there is truth, there is understanding, there is your word that will never fail. And Lord, I thank you that today we can look in your word and find the way of wisdom that you would have for us. I pray, Lord, you would lead us to walk in it. God, I pray that you would pour out your spirit upon us, that we would respond to your spirit, that we would hear that still small voice, Lord, that we would move with you and not move when you're not moving. Lord, give us wisdom. We need it way beyond ourselves. So, Father, we praise you today for your goodness. Thank you, Lord, for leading our thoughts here today, and I pray that you protect the seed that has been planted. In Jesus' name, amen. The final verse says in 18, "Now the fruit of righteousness is sown in peace by those who make peace." The fruit of righteousness is sown in peace by those who make peace. And I invite you this week to the people that you come to, extend to them the fruit of peace. Extend the fruit of peace to those that you're in touch with this week. Do it. And the only way you can do that, you can't extend peaceful fruit if there's no peaceful fruit inside. Extend peaceful fruit to someone this week. Amen. Ask the chorister to come and lead us in song.